Now take your Bibles this morning and turn to Isaiah chapter 52. Isaiah chapter 52. The book of Isaiah is the highest form and quality of Hebrew poetry that exists in the world. This grand and glorious Shakespeare of a prophet, Isaiah, gives us a great deal of information about the Messiah, about the Lord, about Jesus. I want to read one verse, verse 13. Probably ought to read at least 13, 14, and 15, because 13, 14, and 15 make up the first verse of a five-stanza song. It's the song of the servant. There's actually four servant songs in the latter part of the book of Isaiah. And these make up the beginning of the fourth song. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently, or my servant shall prosper. My servant shall succeed. My servant shall be successful. My servant shall deal wisely. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Now, I want to pause here just for a moment because we're at the middle section of the book of Isaiah. Actually, I think this is the main section of the Old Testament. It is the heart of the Old Testament. Most of us, when we get to this section, we are immediately drawn to the next chapter where it tells us who shall believe, where it says, who shall believe our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up like a tender plant, like a root out of a dry place. There is no form or comeliness, and when we shall see his face, there's no beauty about him that we shall desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. We hid our face from him. And it says we hid our face, as it were, from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs. He has carried our sorrow. Yet we esteemed him stricken and smitten of God. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. This is the second stanza of this one song, the servant's song. And it's very clear as we go through here that though Isaiah consists of 66 chapters equal to a miniature Bible, and we have 66 books in our Bible. It has two main divisions, just like our Bible. It has the 29 chapters that are the chapters of judgment, with 27 that are the chapters of comfort or salvation. Just like our Old Testament and our New Testament, our Bible is divided into that judgment section, as well as the section of salvation and consolation and comfort that comes through Jesus Christ. But they made a huge mistake in the dividing up of the chapters and the verses, because actually chapter 53 should have started with chapter 52 and verse 13. I don't know why they made this mistake, but this is a unit. All the way from the 13th verse of the 52nd chapter of Isaiah to the 12th verse of the 53rd chapter of Isaiah is one song. It is the servant's song, the suffering servant, he shall prosper. Now, this book is filled with references, with prophecies of the Lord Jesus Christ. This particular song, this 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, I'm of the opinion if you should only have it as a parchment to read, if you should lose the New Testament, all the rest of the Old Testament, this chapter has enough in it to save the whole world. It is amazing inexhaustible. It is a bottomless well of information concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. It's deep, it's high, it's wide. It tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells us about His death. It tells us about His burial. It tells us in this chapter about His resurrection. It tells us in this chapter about His exaltation. It is the most profound prophecy in all of the Old Testament. It's far-reaching, and most of its details supersede all those of the other prophecies of the Old Testament. It is full of the vicarious, sacrificial, atoning death of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. It has such literary and such theological depth to it that the words collapse under the weight of this chapter. We've been studying the book of Isaiah for almost 2 years on Wednesday night, and we were coming to the section or the division of comfort and consolation and salvation. We're going to be starting in chapter 39 and leading into chapter 40, which chapter 40 starts with comfort ye, comfort ye, comfort ye my people, because the Lord Jesus will come and pardon your sins. What a great revelation that comes in the latter part of the book of Isaiah. And I want to encourage you to come on Wednesday night as we study this. I suppose when we get, and I'm hurrying along and getting to the cream of the crop, I guess, or you know how you eat the heart out of a watermelon? This is the heart of this section of the book of Isaiah. And so as we go through and we come to the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, this is a challenge of a lifetime studying this particular chapter. There's no way that we could fully articulate with words all the depths of this chapter. And I've just read the introduction and one stanza of this song. Sometimes we forget. We forget that the Bible was written to answer the most important question that the human race needs to ask. The question that is answered in this 53rd chapter. The question is, how can we that are sinners be forgiven fully? Those of us that are lost and undone on our way to a devil's hell, how can we escape? How can we be reconciled? How can we be pardoned? How can we be forgiven? And how can we go to an eternal, glorious heaven? The answer is found right here. That question is answered in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Nowhere more clearly answers the question on how we can escape the damnations of hell and go to heaven. Those of us that are lost, condemned sinners. Actually, when you look at the next verse of the 53rd chapter, I think it's verse 6, it talks about all we are sheep, or all we are like sheep have gone astray. Every man has turned unto his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So this makes it a pinnacle chapter in the Old Testament. It reveals things, because it's a point of reference even by the New Testament preachers and by the apostles and by the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. It's a point of reference in their preaching and even in their teaching. This one chapter is quoted about 50 times in the New Testament. So it's one of the clearest detailed presentations of the Lord Jesus Christ, of His life, of His death, of His burial, His resurrection, His exaltation, His intercessory work. It reveals those things. And you know, the amazing thing is that it was written 700 years before He arrived. Wow. This chapter has great complexity, but it's stunning and staggering in nature. It tells us about the humiliation, the sin-bearing of the Lord Jesus Christ in this first stanza in chapter 52 when He says, "Behold, my servant shall be successful. talks about His exaltation, about His glorification. Then it also talks about the astonishment, how that He would be marred by sin, how that He'd be marred to the point of almost being unrecognizable as a man. Talking about the death on the cross, His exaltation, and also His humiliation, which is the bearing of our sins. All these wonderful events of His life as we go through this one song, the servant song. It has a poetic rhythm to it in the Hebrew that we don't see in the English. Has like a yule at the end of it. It's pretty astounding. It's a poem. It's rhyming, actually, in nature. We don't pick up on the rhymes because we read it in English, but if you read it in Hebrew, and I'll show you that on Wednesday night, I want to encourage you again. Maybe this will be a good New Year's resolution for you to attend on Wednesday night. If you can't attend all the time, attend occasionally. Attend once a month. Hey, I'll take attend every 3 months. Come pray with the people of God occasionally on Wednesday nights. Come study the Word of God. There's a lot of wonderful things that we go into. But this particular chapter talks about His humiliation, His sin bearing. It talks about the events of His life. It goes through the Holy Week. It goes through the cross. It goes through the resurrection. It talks about the empty tomb and the glorification in heaven. It talks about His intercessory work. All of that is contained in this one single song. Details are overwhelming. Let's back up just for a minute. Look in, go to Isaiah 41 and verse 8. The servant that is being presented and that we are to behold is the servant that would reconcile the world unto God. And he's presented by the prophet Isaiah. About 30 years ago, let me read this verse in verse 8. It says, now, let me pause here just for a minute. This verse 8 is one of the quotes of the Virgin Mary in her song that we looked at from Luke chapter 1, where she said, "My servant Israel," okay? That was second to the last stanza in her song of praise. And it says, "But thou, Israel, art my servant. Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend." Now we can go to like chapter 42, verse 1. "Behold my servant." You see that? Chapter 42 and verse 1. "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my elect, whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles." And I could go on here, and it talks about him filling the earth with judgment and righteousness. "My servant Israel." Back years ago, about 25 years ago, Dr. T.V. Ferris introduced me, and he knew Hebrew and read Hebrew and studied Hebrew, wrote a book on the book of Isaiah. One of the most brilliant men I've ever met. I remember sitting at his funeral and just thanking God for the privilege to have sat at his feet and to have studied the book of Isaiah. But he introduced me to these four songs. Each one of them had the same theme. They're talking about the servant. Sometimes the servant is identified as Israel. Sometimes it's just identified as the servant. It's in chapter 42, chapter 49, chapter 50, and also here in chapter 53. That introduces chapter 53. "Behold my servant that shall succeed, that shall prosper." In these songs, and I'm just going to give you an overview of them. The servant fails, and then the servant succeeds. The servant breaks the covenant, and the servant establishes the covenant. The servant doesn't feel God's laws and judgments and righteousness in the earth. And then a servant comes along and fills the world with righteousness and judgment. There's a great paradox concerning my servants. My servant Israel, my servant that shall prosper, my servant that shall fill the earth with righteousness. All through these, there's four of them. And on Wednesday night, we'll get a chance to lay all four songs together. And there's a parallel, and yet there's a paradox. Each of them are contrasting a servant that fails and a servant that succeeds. Israel is identified as the servant of the Lord, and yet it is identified as the unfaithful servant, a servant that is under the punishment and the judgment of God. And then you've got the other servant Israel, the true Israel of God, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the servant that does not fail, but that does the Father's will and keeps the law entirely. So you've got two servants, two Israels presented in these four songs in chapter 42, chapter 49, chapter 50, and chapter 53 of Isaiah. One fails, falls, and is full of misery. The other is full of glory and restoration and honor and wisdom. One breaks the covenant, one keeps the covenant, okay? One transgresses the law, one establishes the law by implementing a covenant of grace. This one that is mentioned in these passages is a light to the Gentiles. Here's the point. The second servant absorbs the failures of the first. The second Israel, spiritual Israel, that is established on the true Israel, the true servant, Jesus Christ, who suffers on the cross of Calvary, goes into the tomb, raises on the third day, is exalted to glory, and is sat down at the right hand of the Father. He absorbs all the infirmities, failures, and sins of the first. Listen, if you don't get your head straight in studying these four servant songs and understand who the servant Israel is and get it right, you'll end up with an identity crisis, okay, on who the servant Israel really is, who the true servant that succeeds and prospers really is. All right, so you got to have the right formula. In each one of these songs, there's a problem and a solution. A failure and a faithful one. Okay? A breaker and a fixer. Okay? When we get to this particular song that runs from Isaiah 52:13 down through Isaiah 53 verse 12, it's five stanzas. There's certain type of rhythmic Hebrew language indication in each of these. And it begins with, "Behold my servant that will not fail." God's servant, Yahweh's servant, Jehovah's servant, the true servant of God will not fail. And he begins to open up in these verses and reveal to us his nature, his person. We are able to identify who he is. One of the things that's most striking, and I'm going to go back to Isaiah 52 just for a moment. Verse 13, "Behold my servant that shall prosper. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high." You see that in verse 13? Those three verbs are only used one other place in the book of Isaiah. It's in Isaiah chapter 6. Most of us know about Isaiah chapter 6. That's where Isaiah was called, and he saw the Lord high and lifted up. Huh? And the glory of his train filled the temple. He saw the presence and the glory of the Lord, the exalted Lord he saw on his throne. And those same verbs are used here indicating that the servant, the sacrificial servant, the suffering servant, he would be highly exalted. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2 that he became a man. He was equal with God, but he became a man. The Bible tells us that he was obedient. He was doing the Father's will. He was an obedient servant in Philippians chapter 2. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It says in Philippians chapter 2, it says, therefore God hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that is the name of Jesus Christ, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things on the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Highly exalted. Highly exalted. So we're introduced to the servant that will prosper, that will deal prudently and be wise. His relationship to God the Father. You know, in that vision in Isaiah chapter 6, the angels say, holy, holy, holy. This servant that will come to be a sacrifice for our sins will be a holy sacrifice. Came from God, given of God. Son of God, the servant will come and do the will of God. Remember what Jesus said over and over again, I have come not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. Mary understood this. This was the servant Israel spoken of in Luke 1 and 54. This is what Peter preached. Remember in Acts chapter 3 and verse 13. Acts chapter 3 and verse 13, he was preaching, Peter was, and he says, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, your God, the God of our Father, has glorified his servant Jesus. Jesus is the servant that was glorified. Amen? And he went on and said, he is the one you delivered and disowned the presence of Pilate. When he decided to release him, you disowned the holy and righteous one. You asked for a murderer be granted to you by the name of Barabbas. You put to death the Prince of Life, the one whom God raised from the dead. We are the witnesses that he's alive, and he's alive forevermore. So these details are prominent in the New Testament. It's easy as we begin to look at Isaiah chapter 53 to see that this one that would come and bear our sins, the one who was acquainted with sorrow and grief, the one that was despised and we esteemed him not, the one that bore our sorrows, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. The one that was rejected by the Jews, the one that hung upon the cross, the one that died for our sins. It was Jesus. 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 This chapter provides us a clear understanding of the Messiah being a sacrificial atonement for our sins. The servant of Jehovah will bear the sins of the world. Bear the transgressions. He will experience the judgment of God, and it will please God to crush him on our behalf. As I look at these verses of Scripture, and I think about this chapter, how it provides us the atonement that satisfies the wrath and the judgment of God. This provides us the forgiveness of sin. That's why it's a paramount chapter in all the Bible. It tells us the only way you can have your sins forgiven is for Jesus to bear them. It is necessary for him to die that we might be forgiven. But he won't remain dead. We look down in the latter part of this and it says he'll see his offspring. He will prolong his days. It tells about him coming alive again. How that the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. That righteous servant, says in verse 11, the righteous servant, the righteous servant. People, the only way you can receive the imputed righteousness of God is through the righteous servant. He is the righteous one that paid our sin debt. He is the light of the world, the light to the Gentiles. He is resurrected in here. He is exalted in this chapter. This is one of the clearest prophecies that speak of his death. Over and over again, In the New Testament, Jesus will refer to this. The apostles will refer to this. Look over in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, just for a few moments. What a wonderful chapter the 53rd chapter is. I guess you might say what I'm doing is trying to tease you and wet your whistle, okay, so to speak, to get you to come on Wednesday nights as we study the latter part of the book of Isaiah. In Romans chapter 10, it talks about, Paul was talking about the Jews, and he was talking about the Gentiles. He's talking about the whole world able to be saved through the sacrificial atonement of Jesus Christ. He says, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe with your heart, you'll be saved. You'll be saved. And he says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth in Him will not be ashamed. He went on and said, there's no difference. There is just no difference between the Jew and the Greek. He says, for the same Lord is rich unto all, and is the Lord of all that call upon Him. He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. But how shall they call on Him in whom they have not heard? How shall they call upon Him in whom they have not heard or believed? How shall they believe unless they hear? How can they hear without a preacher? How can they preach except they be sent? How beautiful are the feet of those that bring the gospel of peace and the glad tidings to us. Aren't you glad you heard? And then he goes on and says, they've not all obeyed the gospel, but Isaiah said, who hath believed our report? You know what the report is? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The bearing of God's arm is like Him pulling out His arm from under His garment and bearing His strength. Bearing the arm of God. The strength of God, the power of God. Listen, if you want to experience the power of God, it's experienced through believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God into salvation to everyone that believes, from the Jew first and also the Greek. Salvation in Him. Because He bore our sin. Listen, people, we got a hearing problem, don't we? People can't believe unless they hear. Listen, folks, you need to open your heart. You need to listen, kids. You need to listen to the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus came and bore your sins on Calvary's cross. You can read this 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Something was written 700 years before Jesus went to Golgotha's hill, and it's as though it had already happened in the mind of the prophets. Why? Because He stood as a lamb slain from the foundation of this world. Behold! Look, if you don't behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, if you don't look to Jesus Christ to be your Savior, you'll die lost and undone. You'll split hell wide open. The only way you can get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Through Him. Through Him. He's the way. Amen. He's the truth. He's the life. There's no other way but through the cross of Calvary. It's not through the life that He lived, not the good life that He lived. It's through the death that He died. He paid the sin debt for you. The judgment that you deserve because of your sins, your transgressions, He bore them on Calvary's cross. Calvary's cross. Behold, the servant that succeeded to bring righteousness to the world, to bring wisdom to mankind. That's what we're trying to do. We're just sharing with you the same things that Jesus preached. He said, believe in Me. Believe in Me. God didn't send His Son to this world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Whosoever believeth on Him shall never die. Listen, if you will trust the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart, if you call upon Him, you can be saved. Your sins need to be shifted off of your account, and they need to be laid on the Savior. He paid the sin debt. The Bible reveals that, and that's the only way you can escape the judgment of your sins, is to have Jesus pay the price for you. Get a song here, and I'm done. Don't want to wear you out about this. Ah, behold, my servant that will not fail. Tell you what, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and He will put you into the family of God. You become a peculiar people. You become part of the family of God. You'll be the special people of God, the designated people of God. You'll be part of spiritual Israel. Amen? But something's got to happen. Bible says you got to have a circumcision of the heart. The Bible says there has to be something that takes place in your soul. There's something that has to transpire inside of you that lets you know that you're a child of God and that you've been catapulted out of damnation into eternal life. Praise God for the glorious work of the blood of Jesus. He paid the sin debt. He bore our sins. He bore our grief. Actually, in a few months ago, I preached from Matthew chapter 8, where it talks about Jesus when He was in His earthly ministry. He was casting out demons and He was healing all manner of sick and disease in Galilee. And it quotes this passage from Isaiah, because even the sicknesses, the troubles, the problems, death, all these things are just the consequences of our sins. He came to absorb them all. Absorb them all. The cross absorbs all the punishment that we deserve because of our transgressions. Wow. He bore the sins of the world. All our thoughts that are contrary to Him. All the desires of our heart that are far removed from Him. All the transgressions of the mind that transgress His holy law. He bore them on the cross of Calvary, making it possible for us to go into the presence of the holy God revealed in Scripture. Stand to your feet. God bless you. Appreciate you being here today. Listen, if there's somebody here and you're lost and undone, and you've never been saved, you've never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of your soul, if you've never called upon Him, if you've not believed with all of your heart, if you're not part of the people of God, the children of God, if you're not the children of God by faith, if you're not of the seed of Abraham, we're all made the seed of Abraham by faith. Listen, if you don't know about this, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, what you have to do is you have to turn from your sins to the point to where that you're trusting in Jesus hanging on the cross. You've got to look. You've got to look to the cross. You've got to behold the servant who successfully paid the judgment and sin debt for you. And when you look to Him, He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And as they looked at that brazen serpent in the wilderness, they were healed. You also will have your soul healed if you'll look to Jesus. Let's sing. Somebody here lost, never been saved. Let's sing. Come to the cross. Behold my servant that did succeed. You know, when you stand before the judgment bar of God, He could go through the list of failures. You failed as a human being. You failed as one of my creatures. You failed as one of the human race. You did not succeed. Oh, but praise God, there's one that succeeded for us. There's one that did not fail. There's one that did prosper in the eyes of the Lord. And you know, when we stand before the judgment bar of God, you know what I'm going to say? Though all those condemnations and sins of my life are poured out before me, I want to say I trusted in Jesus. Amen. I trusted in Jesus. And because I trusted in Jesus, all of my iniquities, all of my sins are removed off of me and they're laid on the Savior. And He bore all the judgments of them on Golgotha's hill. And I'm just going to walk through, and I'm not going to miss one stanza of the verse. I'm going to walk through glory singing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. Praise God. Let's sing. Something on your heart today.
Oh, you need to bear it to the cross. Take it to the cross. Behold my servant that does not fail. Let's sing.